Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to visualize world peace, world healing, having food and water distributed to all. We especially hold the heads of government worldwide that they make their decisions out of the power of love rather than the love of power. And we extend our love at that time to the southern states. Noticing our thoughts right now, releasing any thought of the future or the past, presencing ourselves to the present moment, envisioning silver-white light moving up your spinal pathway. Up. Now, as I speak these words, for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God. It is the fullness of intelligence and wisdom. It is creativity itself and unconditional love. Being omnipresent. It expresses not only within me, not only around me, but within me, as me. It is my very life. I am an infinitesimal part of an infinite universe, capable of resonating with that infinite, with that infinity. I acknowledge the designing intelligence of the universe. I acknowledge I am a creation of that intelligence. I am ready and able to become consciously co-creative with that intelligence. Living in God, I co-create. I attract, I allow, I permit, and I promote the people, events, conditions, and circumstances in my life. I think, I imagine, I envision, I feel. Creates a vibration that produces results, and I am willing to produce, to co-create a life of love, lovingness, health, vitality, longevity, sustenance, abundance, true prosperity, not only for myself, individually and personally, but for all, globally and collectively. I'm thankful for this conscious realization this morning of who I really am. I'm thankful for each person gathered here in spiritual community. I'm thankful for our world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Thank you. My topic this morning is co-creator, what is it? Co-creator, what is it? You know, sometimes I just think I know the definition, the meanings of some words, but I still like to look up some in the dictionary just to see what the dictionary has to say. Well, in one of my dictionaries, it says, create, to bring into being from nothing. Well, I believe that that's totally inaccurate because there is no such thing as nothing. All there is energy. So I would say to bring into being from what looks like nothing. There were a couple of other definitions. To cause to be and to bring about. To cause to be and to bring about. Now, as an undergirding of what I have to say here today, please, as new thought people, of people that are engaged in transformation, do not go into a place of guilt. Do not go into a place of blame, because that has to do with judgment, right, wrong, good, or bad. But however, when we're talking about co-creation and to cause to be and to bring into being, that is about accountability. Accountability. Which is totally different than blame. Got it? Got it?
Yes.
Good, thank you. So my purpose this morning is threefold. Actually, when I thought up this title, I thought, oh, that's good, because there's an error in it. Co-creator, what is it? Is it really an it? I'll get back to that. No, it isn't an it. Number two, for us to become not only co-creators, which we are already, but conscious co-creators. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. Did you know in the Bible it talks about Adam falling asleep? No place does it say that he woke up. and I'm not just not making a joke here. What it is the unfoldment of consciousness of our awareness, and we're in the process of waking up to really who we really are as spiritual beings going through human experience. So that's the second point, which I will get back to. And the third point is, there's something that's absolutely imperative for us to becoming and remaining conscious co-creators. And I'll touch on that near the end of my topic here. This week dovetails very powerfully with last week's topic, which was go for it. And one of the key points on there was for us to release littleness and focus on magnitude, not only in our life, but about us, our own selves. Let go of any thought of ourselves as being small, unable, little, like that. So I want to use a few, like I did last week, I drew some information from a lot of different areas. But today I want to quote from Paramahansa Yogananda, who wrote the book Autobiography of a Yogi that absolutely changed my life forever years ago, before I was a New Thought minister. He says this: to define yourself in terms of human limitation is to desecrate the image of God which you are. We just went home. You could have gotten it already. Good message.
And you know, from here, I always say about God, the finite mind cannot comprehend, nor can it define truly the infinite, because it's infinite. Finite mind cannot comprehend or define it. However, I don't even know who wrote this definition. It's the closest that I come to, this is what I believe about it, with my finite mind, with our finite mind. Consciousness, which is eternally, dynamically unfolding and revealing its wholeness. Wow, isn't that great? I love that. Consciousness, which is eternally and dynamically unfolding and revealing its wholeness. Many of you are studying the Course in Miracles again this year, as I am going through it with you in the same lessons. And this is something that the Course in Miracles has to say. To accept yourself as God created you cannot be arrogance, because it is the denial of arrogance. To accept your littleness is arrogant, because it means that you believe your evaluation of yourself is truer than God's evaluation of you. God creates by extension. Humility will never ask that you remain content with littleness. Sometimes people think about humility, just me, I don't speak very highly of myself. When we had our little circle grounding for our logistics team, I said, today I'm speaking about co-creator, what is it? And Jane Holt said, we live in God, like that. And that's what it is. It's like we are an expression of that infinite presence and power. Now, I didn't say that we are the totality of God. Sometimes people who don't really understand what we teach here at the center, they say, oh, that center says that they're God. It's like we are like the ocean on the wave of consciousness. We are the wave on the ocean of consciousness. Thank you, God. We are the wave on the ocean of consciousness. And as the wave, we are not the ocean. I'm glad you got that, because you're really listening. Very good. So it's not that we live with God. It's not like God is over here and we're over here. We live in God. We're an expression of that infinite presence and power. Last week, I shared with you quite a bit of the conference that I was at a few weeks ago, What the Bleep, a conference in Vancouver, and I shared with you about what six or seven of them had to say in different areas, but I want to reiterate and repeat what Mikhail Ledwith, the professor of systematic theology, shared. Just a couple of sentences here, and the center is actually looking at inviting him to be a speaker in the future for us. He said this, and he has credentials as long as my arm. I won't go into them. I went into them last week. All of us are manifestors. However, we have been manifesting at an extremely narrow range. That's the distinction between Jesus the Christ, the Buddha, and a wino living under the bridge. They're all manifestors. However, some are manifesting at an extremely narrow range. He also made the statement that all planes are here. It's just a matter of frequency. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. I also want to share with you a little bit about what Barbara Marks Hubbard has to say about co-creator, and some of you don't know who she is. She was known as a futurist, but she doesn't like to be known as a futurist. She says, I'm a presentist. She actually ran for the vice presidency of the United States in the 80s under the Democratic ticket. A lot of people were amazed that she got as far as she did. She's also the co-author of the wonderful workshop that we lead every year here at the center called Love at the Core that has changed so many lives, including mine, and the follow-up course co-creators. So that's who Barbara Marks Hubbard is. No relation to Ron Hubbard of Scientology. None. Got it? Good. Co-creation. Here's a few definitions that she has. A conscious act of cooperation with the patterns of evolution or the will of God. Co-creation, a human function in harmony with the will of the Creator. Co-creative human. A human in the next stage of evolution, or we could use the term unfoldment of consciousness, a fully incarnate God being capable of healing, regeneration, and at-one-ment with the intention of creation. And if you look at that word at-one-ment, put it together, it's atonement. So many times people read these words and they think, what does atonement mean? Mm-hmm. A human being capable of doing works that Jesus did. A natural Christ, an awakened one, a person at cause in life. These are all mouthfuls, aren't they? A co-creator, one who aligns his or her will with the intention of creation, the universal mind, the designing intelligence, spirit, the patterns of evolution, one who fuses intuitive and intellectual knowing, one who is able to choose a goal that has never been accomplished before. She says a few other things here. Co-creation is a new model of social synergy. It's a commitment to 100% actualize our full potential. I said something last week about what if we actually woke up in the morning and thought of ourselves as geniuses? And many people have never thought of themselves as geniuses. In co-creation, we graduate from self-imposed limits. And here's a wonderful question to stay in the question of. Am I willing to go the whole way in my genius? The whole way in my genius. And a co-creator is one that aligns his or her will with the patterns of co-creation, which is a repeat here. So that'll just give you the broadness of the picture of that. But being that we live in God, that we're the wave on the ocean of consciousness, we have the attributes. So we have the attributes of creation. But we say co-creation because we're creating, I won't say with God, but in God. We co-create with other people when we're in alignment with them and in resonance with them. I want to read to you another quotation from Paramahansa Yogananda, which is just, I think this is amazing given the catastrophe that has happened this last week in the southern states. The more deeply we seek healing for our planetary environment, the more we realize how vital it is that we draw on spiritual as well as material resources in solving the ecological crisis. For the threat of our outer world has its deepest roots in the inner environment of our own thoughts and actions. The good and bad karmic conditions created by man/woman determine and influence the climate. I'm going to repeat that sentence. The good and bad karmic conditions created by us determine and influence the climate. Paramahansa Yogananda said many years ago, they affect the wind and the ocean and even the structure of the earth. I'm going to digress a little bit here from my notes, but I was thinking about David Hawkins' books, Power versus Force, The Eye of the Eye, and I. And in there, and Wayne Dyer quotes him quite a bit in his Power of Intention book, which I'm so glad he quotes him. He talks about the calibration of consciousness, and that about 85% of us on a scale of 0 to 1,000, if the consciousness of a Christ were 1,000, the pivot point between the positive and negative is about 200, and that 85% of our population worldwide is only about at that stage. Then I read in the paper today, they're talking about New Orleans here. Crime even before the hurricane was high. The murder rate has come down in recent years, but remains 10 times the already high U.S. national average. The city's school system is a shambles. The districts went almost broke last year, and teachers nearly missed paychecks. 55 of the state's 78 worst schools are in New Orleans. But then, corruption in New Orleans is nothing new. Politicians, judges, the police, all have been caught. Matter obeys the intent of consciousness. You reach a critical mass of a number of people coming from crime, they're going to attract something. That hurricane could have gone anywhere. And it is energy. And people's consciousness is energy. And their intention is energy. And their right deeds are energy. And their wrong deeds are energy. So sometimes when we're asking a question, why, we can look at this and say, you know, we co-create our experience. We co-create our experience. We co-create the people that are attracted into our lives, the conditions, circumstance, disease or health, scarcity or prosperity, like that. There isn't anything that is outside the realm of the metaphysics of energy, because it's all energy. It's all energy. So I like to use the acronym CAPS with 2 C's, 2 A's, and 2 P's, and 1 S. I've used this before, and it stands, you know, it's a good thing to continually think about for ourselves. CC is co-create. I'm always co-creating. What am I co-creating in my life right now? Am I happy with it? The AA stands for attracting and allowing. Attracting and allowing. The PP stands for permitting and promoting. Permitting and promoting. And the S stands for, what did I step into? Don't look for it now, but you've got a little green insert called thank you. And this was sent to me from another minister who had been going through a tough time. And another colleague of hers had sent her this in an email to support her. And she read it to me. And I said, please forward that to me, because I think that something to point to right here. I'll read it to you. Thank you to those of you who laughed at me. Thank you. Without you, I wouldn't have cried. Thank you to those of you who just couldn't love me. Thank you. Without you, I wouldn't have known real love. Thank you to those of you who hurt my feelings. Without you, I wouldn't have felt them. To those of you who left me lonely, thank you. Without you, I wouldn't have discovered myself. And to those of you who thought I couldn't do it, thank you, because I want to thank you the most, because without you, I wouldn't have even tried. Wouldn't have even made the effort. Wouldn't have even had the vision. So the law of attraction is forever operating. There's a good book out by Michael Loge, The Law of Attraction. And there's another book that I just ordered. The book order will be coming in this week. It's called Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting. It's one of the easiest, simplest books that I know of that explains what we teach at the center in a very easy, understandable way. And I've done topics on both those books, and it's all about that our thinking creates our feelings. Our feelings create a vibration, and that vibration is what produces the results. And sometimes people say, well, I thought of that, but it sure as heck didn't come true. Well, how much did you focus on it? How much did you raise that vibration? Or did you just think about it just for a moment, just for a minute, and then maybe went back to worrying about it if it didn't happen? Like that. So we really need to be very, very disciplined in our consciousness, because what I'm speaking about here is becoming conscious co-creators, being very conscious of what we're co-creating in our life, being very conscious of what we're allowing into our life, what we're attracting into our life, what we're promoting into our life, what we're permitting in our life, and permitting to stay in our life sometime. Those of you who've been coming to the center a long time have heard this example before, but I, you know, sometimes it's not that I'm running out of examples. It's that when I use a particular example, I know it just goes pow, and so I use it several times. Many of you know that before I became a New Thought minister, I was a successful real estate person in Edmonton. My husband and I owned a small real estate company, not known for its size, but for its people, him and I. Before we had our own real estate company, we both worked for a company called Graham Real Estate. And when I became a realtor, women were hardly hired as real estate salespeople until one person in Edmonton made the top 10. And her name was Marianne Plett. And she took me under her wing and was my mentor. And that's how I became the top rookie of Graham Real Estate that year. But that's not the real story. The story I want to tell you is that Marianne Plett was abducted and murdered. And her body wasn't found for a number of months until after the snow went away. One of the things I know about Marianne, she was a real wonderful practicing Christian woman. But one other thing that I know about her is that just the week prior, there had been a couple from Edmonton who had disappeared. They just went away on a holiday and they disappeared. They didn't get to where they were going. And Marianne was listening to the news one day, wiping dishes, and she came in from the kitchen and looked at the television. And it was about this couple that had disappeared. And she said, with conviction, with feeling, you gotta get this, I wish to God how I could understand how someone could disappear off the face of this earth. A few weeks later, she had disappeared. So my reason for telling you something this negative is that this infinite presence and power, this divine energy, is no respecter of persons, and it doesn't think about good or bad. It doesn't think, well, John over here, he's thinking some bad thoughts. I'll just forget about the law of attraction right now for him. So we really have to be disciplined, conscious co-creators, and watch what I could tell another story, but I'll go over time on the tape. I'll save it for another time about my own life personally, but it's not as you know, traumatic as that. I wish to God I could understand that
And then, boom, God answered prayer.
It's been said in allowing and permitting that we generate what we deserve. And somebody says, well, just a minute, deserve? I'm talking about deserve by right of consciousness. By right of consciousness, are we conscious co-creators? Are we consciously envisioning, speaking, talking about, expecting our life to be grand, loving, peaceful, like that? And also, it has to do with how we feel, how we think about ourselves as far as being worthy and deserving. So there's kind of two sides to that deserving. There's deserving as far as right of consciousness, and there's deserving as far as how worthy do you think you are. I'll go back to that quotation by Paramahansa Yogananda. To define yourselves in terms of human limitation is to desecrate the image of God, which you are. So would you say that something or somebody or some soul made in the image and likeness of God deserves a wonderful life? A life of health and happiness and peace and prosperity, true prosperity? I'm not just talking about wealth of money there, and it includes that, but to thrive and flourish and be successful in every area of our life, like that. So what do we promote in our life? What do we allow? What do we attract? What do we permit? Disease or health and vitality? Dysfunctional, abusive relationships or loving and supportive and encouraging and empowering and inspirational relationships? Do we promote scarcity and not having enough or never being good enough? Or do we promote abundance and true self-expression and prosperity? Good questions to ask. So always remember too that we co-create in God. However, we also co-create with others as a community. I remember Barbara Marks Hubbard saying, we actually had her here for a couple of visits a number of years ago, something amazing happens as people of like mind and purpose speak and envision together. A higher experience comes into being in our presence when we share that kind of thing. It's called a morphogenetic field. When two or more are in resonance with each other. You know, that's in the Bible, but they didn't have that kind of terminology back then. In Matthew 18:20, it says, "For whenever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you." Now, I don't think Jesus was saying, "In my name, Jesus." I don't think so. I think what he was saying was, "In my name," as far as Christ, the Christ consciousness, the Christ consciousness that each one of us lives in, but maybe we don't fully express consciously. The Christ consciousness is the consciousness that expresses with no barriers to its full self-expression. So thinking about that as an undergirding, let's read that again. For whenever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you. So it's like the resonance, like that. You're in alignment with each other. Now, I want to end with something that was just so profound to me in Vancouver a couple weeks ago by Bruce Lipton. Bruce Lipton was here in Victoria a couple years ago. I took a full day workshop with him on belief. But this is just a golden nugget. What I'm going to share with you in the next couple minutes is just a golden nugget of what he took an hour and a half to present to us with a lot of wonderful, colorful PowerPoint overheads that we saw on a big screen. Bruce Lipton is PhD, internationally recognized author of Bridging Science and Spirit. Now, as I start to say this, you may say, well, what does this have to do with that? Believe me, I'll get to it. There is a belief that a nucleus is the brain of the cell. How many of you have kind of heard that or studied that? I know I did in school. There's a belief that the nucleus is the brain of the cell. It is not. And get this. If a nucleus was removed from the cell, they've done this. Cells live, and the behavior is unaffected. However, when the nucleus is removed, the cell cannot divide or reproduce. And then he kind of jokingly said, the nucleus isn't the brain, it's the gonad of the cell. But this is pointing to something. Genes do not control biology. Therefore, we are not victims of our genes. What changes the cell? And he showed us, you know, I'm just bottom lining this. Environment. Environment. There's a new genetics called epigenetics, how environment changes the behavior of the cell. And how many times I have said here from the front of the room, you can have a vision or a goal or something you're aspiring towards or like that, but unless you continually place yourselves into an environment conducive to its growth, pretty tough to manifest it, if at all. Like, wow. Thank you for placing yourself into this environment this morning where you are learning about being conscious co-creators. Rather than an environment, perhaps, that doesn't teach you that, but maybe reminds you about guilt, blame, or shame. How unworthy you are. I remember a friend of mine had such difficulty with a lot of the courses that we were taking years ago, energy and man concept therapy and a bunch of other new thought ones that were named differently 30 years ago. And she said, I finally got it. How come I just felt so unworthy? She said, for years I used to pray on my knees and thump my chest saying, and I wonder how many people, I just wonder this, you know, when we look at the population of the world and why 85% are just at the 200 stage of the calibration, so many people are being told and reminded from very authoritative figures that they're not worthy. So the people that are going to shift the consciousness are people like you and I that believe otherwise. Again, to define ourselves in terms of human limitation is a desecration of the image of God, which we are. So if you go away from here today remembering anything, remember that. That you are made in the image and likeness of, I don't care what you call it. Some people don't like the word God. Whatever you want to call it. So just in review, remember what creation is. It's causing to be. We're co-creative in God. We're co-creative with each other. Have clarity as far as our definition of who we really are. Remembering we live in God. And remember to consciously co-create. That we co-create, we attract, we allow, we permit, we promote, and we step into.
Man, that's freedom. That's real, real freedom. That's freedom in full self-expression. That's freedom in body, mind, spirit. That's freedom in spirituality. Thank you for your conscious listening. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power that is your very life.